So you guys are awesome. Like, I was not expecting what I got from Translucid. It absolutely, like, tore me apart, like, philosophically, and made me think so hard for a comic book, you know, and I've been reading comics my whole life, so that really, the comic really meant a lot to me, and so I just wanted to thank you guys for that.
Oh, cool. Thank you. That's awesome.
That's really nice of you to say.
No, I mean, it's the truth. I just speak the truth. And I guess I just want to open up some conversation about really the moral philosophy behind this this comic. So, okay, so, I mean, I really want to focus, you know, I don't want to focus on, like, how did you guys get into comics? How, you know, because you've touched on that. I want to focus on, you know, the philosophy behind this and sort of the dichotomy between good and evil. And, you know, you've talked about the codependency between your villain and your hero. And I want to really sort of touch on how, you know, there's really a codependency between good and evil and how, you know, good doesn't exist without evil. First, let's just talk about how you conceived of the idea to have this villain that has just decided that he's kind of done being the villain for this particular hero.
The initial, like, idea started, I had to write a song for the Batman game, Batman
okay.
Arkham City. That,
nice.
So, you know, they submitted like a script, and I went over the script, and I just sort of, the thing that I found the most exciting being a Batman fan is the relationship between Batman and the Joker, and this whole idea of, like, we're one and the same, one doesn't exist without the other sort of mentality. But what, you know, in that game, the Joker dies. So for me, it was like this song sort of came from the Joker's perspective and wondering, like, what would the world be like without him, you know, or would Batman show, would there be any emotional exchange in the loss of this character? And I believe that there would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, for me, it's like I look at, you know, somebody like Batman, I think a lot of people do, is just as crazy as the Rogues Gallery he's inspired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you know, and I always sort of think of, like, ideas for Batman's story where it's like, you know, what if Batman had to, you know, eradicate all of his Rogues Gallery? I mean, for me, he would probably have some inner monologue where he would sort of reminisce about moments like he had with these characters that were important to him. And, you know, so, I mean, it was just kind of that was, like, where the initial idea sort of spawned.
Cool.
And so we just kind of took it from there and sort of made our own book because, you know, like, some of the ideas that some of the places we're going to go with Translucid, I don't know if it would make a whole lot of sense for a pre-existing character. You know, there's probably rules we'd have to abide by. So we just decided to kind of do our own take on it.
You know, to have, like, you know, to have the flexibility with characters that are creator-owned, to really make them feel like soulmates. You know what I mean? Like, to have these two characters who really do in every aspect kind of complete the other instead of kind of, you know, there's 30 villains that you're dealing with and all of them have a lot of, you know, similarities and a lot of different things, but there's not that perfect fit. For us, it was really important to have them be a yin and yang.
Absolutely.
And like you said, you know, okay, like a character like the Navigator, who is our Batman, is certainly put in place and inspires characters like the horse, but, you know, these characters are really, you know, the things that test him and make him go forward as a human, and I think that's where the horse sort of comes to a crossroads with the Navigator, because the Navigator becomes so reliant on you know, his contribution to their relationship.
Right.
You know,
that's fantastic, and it comes across so powerful in the comic. And I mean, really, and I've said this a couple of times, like, on Twitter and, you know, just as I've been, like, blasting this comic, not blasting in a bad way, like promoting this comic all over the internet. But, you know, I've been sort of calling it, like, a dom-sub relationship, you know, like, it's the, you know, the horse says jump and the navigator is, like, how high, you know, it's kind of like he's so... And I mean this in the best way possible, but there's almost like a pitiful amount of respect that the navigator shows toward the horse. Did you guys, is that something that I'm reading into, or is that something you guys meant to come across?
No, that's 100%, you know, what was supposed to come across. And I think a lot of people in the first issue don't really catch on to that so much because it starts to build in latter issues when we see sort of like the navigator's childhood.
Yeah.
You know, we start to learn that he's developed this learned helplessness from this like abusive father and, you know, from a mother who kind of uses him as a crutch. And so he's almost in some ways, you know, he's a hero in by default, but he's also looking for somebody to kind of tell him what to do because that's how his life has always been. You know, the horse as a villain is perfect for him because he's willing to push him and he's willing to give him these avenues that he can grow through. So absolutely.
That is just, it's just so impressive. It's such a fresh take on the villain-hero relationship.
Yeah, and to sort of, like, build upon what Chandra was saying, like, you know, and I'll just quoted, even though it's in the second issue, you know, the navigator comes upon the horse and it's like the first time they've met, and he says to him, he's like, you couldn't have picked a better name, you know, obviously being, you know, you called the horse, you wear a horse head, yada, yada, yada. But then the horse sort of turns it around on him and he says something to the extent of like, well, every navigator needs his means of transportation. You know, so it's just like, basically like, I'm here to push you forward or to take you, you know, we're in this together, we're going to make this work, and we're going to take you to the top or whatever you want, you know, or whatever you want to
call it. Wow.
Or
kind of delving a bit more into the horse, you know, by the end of the first issue, he's basically like, okay, well, you've failed and I'm going to make you watch your failure, you know, in this horrible explosion. And you know, you're too codependent, basically, you know, just like punishing him for being codependent. And here's what the thoughts that I was wondering about the horse is if he were to truly succeed in making the navigator, you know, not dependent on him anymore and, you know, they sort of separate themselves and go their separate ways, if he was to truly succeed in that, would he really feel satisfied in doing the evil deeds that he does?
Well, you know, in answering this question, we give I almost feel like we give a big reveal away. That certainly gets answered.
Okay.
You know, like, Chandra, if you want to.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really great, you know, you bring up a great point, and in that, you know, in order for there to be equilibrium, you know, there has to be somebody to fill these roles. So if the navigator is removed, it raises a lot of questions. Will the horse find a new hero to latch on to? You know, will he move on? Will he quit? A lot of ways that it could go. And we definitely, in the last issue, answer that question.
So, like, when I was done reading it, I was like, okay, the navigator seems more like a villain to me than the horse does, because he seems selfish, you know, that he wasn't willing to, like, give up this codependent relationship in order to save, you know, this building and these people or whatever. He seemed childish, a little bit needy. And so I was sort of, I was left thinking, oh my gosh, like, who is the real villain here? And I love that you guys did, I love that you were able to do that. You know, you've created this idea of having a hero and having people finish the book and be like, wait a minute, is he actually the hero? Because he kind of seems like a villain to me. So thoughts on that?
I think that's, you know, that's something that we really love, the idea of full characters who don't, who aren't, you know, all one thing. And, you know, I think that's, without speaking for him, I think that's part of the reason that Claudio's loved reading superhero comics, is that you see these flaws in heroes, you see these imperfections, and something that maybe you don't see as much is the, I don't know, I guess the philanthropy behind some villains.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, you know, for the horse, it's like, you'll find definitely throughout this series that the horse really cares about the navigator, definitely, but he also kind of cares about the city.
Yeah.
Cares about the balance. He cares about justice, and he cares about a lot of things that the navigator should care about.
One thing I could say in this, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but at the end of, sort of at the end of the day, this is really a love story between these two characters.
Yeah.
You know, and the horse is, you know, though, you know, though he you know, he seems very, you know, he wants to do this thing, there's also another side to it, and you'll see that as it sort of unravels, where you really find out that he just as much as the navigator cares for him in that one line he says in that first issue, well, this is just a building, you know, you're the only friend I got.
Yes, yes.
The horse sort of says the same thing in the actions he does through the issue.
You know, the navigator's whole shtick, like, the reason that he is a hero is because he's told and taught that these are the right things to do, but he's really unable to make moral decisions for himself. He has a really hard time kind of making those choices on his own between right and wrong. You know, in a lot of ways, he kind of doesn't. For us, it was like, let's create a hero and villain who kind of aren't either of those things. Nobody's really 100% anything, and we all have motives.
I think that's why I connect so much to it, because I'm very big on, like, everyone's an anti-hero. You know, like, no one's a hero, no one's, you know, no one's totally good, no one's totally evil. But I did definitely get the sense with the navigator, or the horse, rather, that he was sort of the more mentally stable one. But he definitely seems like the more mature one, and that doesn't happen ever either. You know, even in comics, if you have, you know, a villain who is much more worldly or older than the superhero, you still get the sense that they are more immature and, you know, not as mentally stable. But in this, you get a very clear sense that the horse is just, he seems to be much more mentally stable, maybe even more grounded than the navigator.
Definitely. And, you know, he was formed, you know, the need for the horse within the city's equilibrium was formed by a hero who wasn't that good, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
where there's something lacking, you know, your counterpart has to make up for those deficits. So in so many ways, the horse really just wants the navigator to be better, and it frustrates him that he's not. And that he, you know, he isn't in some ways worthy of his attention. so it's, yeah, their dynamic is, you know, we loved writing the characters because they're just so dense.
Well, it's a really beautiful relationship. It's, you know, I mean, it's messed up. It's totally messed up for sure, but it's beautiful in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, Claude and I talk all the time, like, you know, we work on stories together, we're married, we have this, you know, this relationship, I know his strengths, I know his weaknesses, he knows mine, and, you know, it's like, in some ways, it's like that, you know, you have these moments where you're very much in love, you're best friends, you're all of these things, and you want the other person to always be on the top of their game, and it's heartbreaking when they fail, and it's, you know, it's just this spectrum of emotion. And I think very much it reflects that of these two characters. You know, their relationship is definitely business related, but it's also, in some ways, it is romantic. It's friendship. It's everything.
It's wonderful. You guys have been incredibly awesome. Thank you so much for taking this time to do this with me.
Oh, you got
absolutely.
It.
Thank you for, you know, for loving the book, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the ride.